Welcome to episode 550 of Salcedo Paranormal, and tonight I'm sharing true paranormal stories on the web. As always, you can find all episodes of the show, along with links to social media and other ways to contact me, at the podcast page, and that is salcedoparanormal.podbean.com. That's S-A-L-S-I-D-O, paranormal.podbean.com. Always happy to hear from you all whether you have comments or questions or topic suggestions or stories of paranormal experiences, whether they're your own or from others that you trust. Happy to either read those or have you join me on the show to talk about them. Thank you all for listening, whether you are here for the live streams on Discord or if you listen on the podcast or YouTube feeds or on the Trouble Minds Radio Network, KUAP, Digital Broadcasting. There you can hear replays of two episodes of the show every night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, right before Trouble Minds Radio comes on. As always, I want to thank Michael Strange, host of Trouble Minds Radio, as well as Liam Martin, host of the Exile Minds podcast, for producing these shows and putting them up on the station as you hear them there with the music at the beginning and end of every episode. If you'd like to support the show, there are some different ways to do that. You can always share the show with others and rate and review it on your favorite podcast platform. You can also sign up to the Patreon page, and there you'll find one extra True Paranormal Stories from the Web episode every month for anyone that signs up to the paid membership levels there. You can also find paranormal fiction and nonfiction books I've written over on Amazon. And you can also just send in a one-time donation through PayPal. Help is never expected, but always appreciated, as there are expenses in making these shows, from equipment to research materials to travel expenses in some cases. And I think that covers everything. So, again, this is getting to probably my favorite part of doing the show, which is the true stories from people online and then whoever sends anything in. Again, always looking for your accounts of your own experiences. You can send it to me through Discord or through email, and that's salcedoparanormal@gmail.com. So getting to the stories here. I always say stories because that's just, I'm so used to saying that. But by that, in saying that word, I don't mean any disrespect or to imply at all that these aren't things that people that happen to people. I'm just saying that's sort of a word that I've gotten used to using. I think partly also because I'm a writer of fiction, and so it's just stuck in my mind. But getting to this first one here. This one says, when I was 10 or 11 years old, I would stay the night at a friend's house. We would sleep in her older brother's basement bedroom when he was away. The basement room was very dark, and one of our favorite activities was to sit in the room with all the lights off and watch the orbs that appeared. These orbs came in various sizes and colors, including bright greens, purples, and oranges. They had a fuzzy, in quotation marks there, appearance and texture. My friend and I weren't afraid of the orbs and didn't question what they were or why we were seeing them. We both found them fascinating and could see the same ones, commenting on their colors and how they bounced off of each other. The number of orbs varied, ranging from a few to around a couple dozen. They would float in the air and bounce off of each other. We could only see these orbs when staying in that specific room and nowhere else. Has anyone else had similar experiences? And does anyone know exactly what we were seeing? And that's where that one ends. That is amazing. To see things so clearly, to have two people there confirming what you're seeing. The bouncing off of each other, the supposed possible contact of the orbs with each other that made them move away? Were they really, was it sort of a physical impact? It would seem like that wouldn't make a lot of sense if they're just light. But if they're energy fields, I guess they could technically bounce off each other. That's just really amazing. And I like how the writer there points out they never saw those anywhere else in the house. I'm guessing anywhere else, anywhere. I wonder about the history of that house and about that basement. But also it could just be, as kids, kids seem to be a little more sensitive to a lot of these things. And so it's possible they were the only ones. I wonder what would happen if the writer's friend's parents would have come down. Would they have seen anything? I'm guessing the brother never did, if he was still staying in that room, unless he saw them and also was not frightened by them. I wonder if he saw them as a kid and then maybe stopped seeing them as he got older. Just so many questions there with that. But yeah, neat account there of an experience that apparently happened in several different times. And I like those where there's nothing really frightening about what's going on. That's just something you can't easily explain away. So yeah, neat one there. Going on to the next one. Let's see here. This one says, when I was 9 or 10 years old, again, another one with kids, I was outside with my sister on our property in Texas, close to nightfall. My sister went inside without me realizing, while I was still at the treehouse, about 3 minutes away from our house. As I started walking back, I reached the corner of the woods and saw what appeared to be my sister hiding underneath a table outside our house. I asked her what she was doing, thinking she was trying to scare me. However, I felt a strange presence, and she, in quotation marks, slowly turned her head toward me, revealing all black eyes, like those of black-eyed children. Frightened, I ran inside and headed straight to my parents' room. Before I got there, I saw my actual sister. When I asked if she had just been outside, she said no and told me that after leaving the treehouse, she had gone straight inside. I shared my experience with her, but she couldn't explain it. I have tried researching this incident, but have never found anything similar to what I encountered. An entity that looked exactly like my sister, but with black eyes. That is, I understand why the writer there was frightened. I wonder, again, did this figure look like the sister because they chose to? Or was it sort of just the writer trying to process what they were seeing and thinking it was their sister? Well, maybe it was. It didn't look quite like that. The odd thing about this one, and I'm glad it didn't turn out the way that you hear so often about with these black-eyed children, is that this figure did not try to do anything once they turned and looked at the writer. I wonder if they were hiding or if they were just sort of needing a place to stay for a little while there. I wonder what they were doing there again, if they were hiding or not. And I'm just wondering too with that, I mean, how often do people see other people they think they know and then these doppelgangers or doubles or mimics vanish before they can see the people that experience them can see them clearly? I wonder how often they see them sort of from the back or from the side and don't see the eyes. And if they did see them sort of straight on, if they would see something similar, where they see these black-eyed entities. Just the thought there. Because I've heard of reports of people seeing people that they thought they knew, and then turns out they vanished, or just somehow vanished from sight, or went into a building and then vanished. Basically, just were gone before the experiencer could actually get to them. But yeah, I don't know what to make of that one. I'm glad that that's as far as it went. I'm guessing that the writer never encountered that figure there again. Again, going back to the idea, I think is probably really common of different entities just passing through, going through areas. I think that's probably more common than maybe is thought of in a lot of cases in the paranormal. It's just, it's not always sort of these entities sticking around intentionally, which of course they do sometimes, but it could just be passing through. Like I've said before, one of my first encounters in here in my apartment is one of my favorite because it just sounded like an older couple, as if they were just passing through my apartment. Just their voices. Didn't hear any footsteps, didn't see anything, but I just heard this older couple, this man and woman, talking as if they were walking out in the open, which maybe for them they were, but somehow I was able to hear them, and they just passed right through the front of my apartment and all the way through to the back and then out, and then heading towards a nursing home nearby. So I don't know, but I think that, again, that concept I think works in a lot of cases. Because again, I never had any experiences with them again. I never heard those voices again. So anyway, moving on to the next one here. Let's see. Okay. This one says, 4 years ago, at my old store, my manager, T, who I considered the epitome of a good manager and learned a great deal from, passed away. During what I regarded as the store's glory years, characterized by a strong crew, low turnover, ample hours, and satisfied customers, T always worked at the store as a way of coping with his illness. Throughout my time there, I only heard him raise his voice once, when the baker displayed an attitude towards another store manager. The bond within our group was so strong that four other employees and I, and even the store owner, attended T's funeral. One night around 3 a.m., I was alone at the store, cutting and portioning meat. I had locked the door after turning off the alarm, knowing that everyone else would be asleep at that time, and I would hear the door chime if someone entered. 30 minutes into my task, I heard a sound resembling a chair being dragged. At first, I saw nothing, but upon walking around the bar, I found a chair pulled out just enough for someone to sit in it. I felt the presence and addressed T out loud, saying hello. A week later, while discussing strange occurrences with a crew member, she revealed that while she was working alone at night, she thought she heard people talking in the lobby. But after she checked the cameras, she saw no one was there. I then shared my own experience with her, and we both believed it was T's presence. Unfortunately, my old store has been closed for a couple of years now. And that's where that one ends. Again, these workplace encounters are always amazing to me. I have no way of knowing for sure if it's really the person they think it is. I mean, if they sense the presence, and if it was multiple of them that did sense that, then they could be right. So yeah, really neat one there. And I'd wonder, of course, if that store ever reopened, would there still be activity there? And I think sometimes you do hear about that. And of course, if the people that sort of take over the store don't know the history of the people from before it, they might not know what's going on. Maybe it may even become frightened by what's going on because they don't know, they don't have the same relationship with the source of the activity. But yeah, that's a neat one there. Just seems that there's so many accounts of these experiences people have in these places where they work. And I wonder how often it is because, I mean, even if it's a workplace, people that maybe did work there, they really did enjoy working there. And so they do come back because they want to, not so much because they're stuck, but because that's where they really enjoy themselves for at least parts of their lives there. So yeah, that's another example of a workplace haunting, if you want to use that word. So, and I'd be curious to know what happened after that, if anything ever did. But moving on to the next one here. Okay. Lost my spot. There it is. Okay. This one says, I was around 10 years old, living in my childhood home. Can't talk. Anyway. I had previously experienced strange occurrences in the house, including constant sleep paralysis, feeling like someone was watching me, and frightening dreams, as well as astral projection. One day I was lying on my bed with the lights off, TV off, and windows closed. I was using my phone when I noticed an orb of light at the foot of my bed, suspended in midair. When I looked directly at the orb, it started glowing brighter and getting larger. The orb, in quotation marks here, flashbanged the room, causing the entire room to become very bright. The brightness was reflected on the walls, confirming that it wasn't just my eyes playing tricks on me. The entire event happened within 3 seconds. Does anyone have a logical explanation for this? And that's where that one ends. The dreams could or may not be connected to the paranormal there. Same with the sleep paralysis without knowing more details. The astral projection, again, I wonder, can places cause that? I have no idea. Or other entities? I don't know. But yeah, the orb there, I'm wondering what the purpose of that was. Was it just an energy buildup? Or was it some kind of presence that was trying to show themselves? Or both? I don't know. But so many of these accounts, you noticed like 3 of them tonight, involve kids around 10 years old or so. But yeah, so neat one there with the orb sort of growing brighter and then, I guess, just flashing and then being gone. Moving on to the next one here. Let's see. This one says, I have a particular study spot in my university library, located in a secluded area in front of a wall. I usually only go there when the library is crowded and I can't find another spot. During a previous study session, I saw someone standing there. Let me see here. I'm sorry. I messed up. I saw someone standing next to me from the corner of my eye. There we go. But when I turned to look, no one was there. I felt the presence of the person, in quotation marks, standing there for a long time, as if I was it was facing and looking at me. I brushed it off, thinking my mind was playing tricks on me. Similar incidents occurred a couple of times after that, where I thought someone was walking by, but no one was there. Today I went to the library to study and sat at a different spot. All my electronic devices suddenly stopped working, despite having worked earlier. My phone had no reception for 10 minutes. My laptop displayed a blank screen. My tablet claimed every website they tried to visit, or I tried to visit, was dangerous. Frustrated, I went to change my study spot and ended up at the same secluded spot again. Once settled, all my devices started working again. While studying, I once again saw someone standing there from the corner of my eye. But when I looked, no one was there. At one point, a real person was standing there, and my mind initially played it off as one of the things, in quotation marks, I keep seeing. I find it strange that these occurrences only happen at this particular spot. Does anyone have any thoughts on what this all could be? And that's where that one ends. The phenomenon of sensing someone or seeing someone out of the corner of your eye standing there, that is not uncommon. Though the electronic thing, that is, I mean, if you want to sort of follow the story there, it's almost like it's implying that someone or someone had some kind of force or ability to disrupt the writer's technology and make them move and move back to that one spot. Now, what the reason for that is, I have no idea. Was there some other entity there trying to communicate and only could do it in that one spot? But then if that was the case, then how were they able to manipulate the electronics in a different spot? What is the sort of connection to that one spot where the writer ended up being at? I'm guessing if it's a university library, it's older, possibly. And or there's just history there. It could even have nothing to do with the building itself, but something from before that. I don't know, but that's a lot of devices to sort of manipulate all at one time. You have your phone, your PC, your laptop, and a tablet, all not working right at the same time for about 10 minutes. That seems like they were saying there. So, and again, when they went to move, the only spot available was the one where they had had their first encounter there. So I think there's something going on with that one spot. The question is just what and why is this presence so determined to have the writer be there or go back there? There's a lot of different possibilities there, of course, from just sort of trying to point out that something happened at that spot to other more negative possibilities. But yeah, hard to say without sort of more detail or more, I guess, a different way of contact where whoever this is got their message across in a different way. So, but I think that'll do it for today. Thank you all for listening. Hopefully you all enjoy this sort of this new format of having more shows. I really do. And I'll talk to you all on the next episode of Salcedo Paranormal. Take care.